Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered to the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who was sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed unto Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Acts chapter 4, verse 12 through 22. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name.' So they called them and commanded them to not speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no other way of punishing them because of the people, since they had all glorified God for what has been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. This is the word of God for the people of God."
Thanks be to God.
Well, you know, you thank me for coming. I want to thank you for being here. Because I grew up in a Free Methodist church with not very many people. And I'm grateful that I can just come. Because you see, people that live in the country see God in a different perspective than people in the city. And I appreciate that growing up in the country. Now, before I get going, I came across this. And I better get my glasses. Now, if you want to hear Google read this to you, it's on Google. And like I told the church this morning, I loved it. And I'll probably be listening to it a little more. But it's a letter from God. And he says, "My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways, even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. To me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I know you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but in the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Simply because you are my child and I am your father, I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. For I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand. For I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plans for your future has always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love, my thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. And each one of these thoughts came from the Word of God. A lot of them came from Psalm 139. But folks, sometimes we have that feeling that God doesn't care. He's not there for us. But rest assured, He is. Now let's look at the Word. And this to me is pretty awesome. And I thank the young lady for reading it. When Joanne read it this morning, I thought for certain I had too many verses, but she both did a good job. And I'm thankful for that. Well, we want to look at what do you think of when you go to church? Is it the same old, always the same? You can tell exactly the time that you're going to be singing the last song and when the preacher is done and when you get to go home. It's all rhythm that. But what if you, when you came to church, you thought, I wonder what God is going to do today. Wonder what could be different. And it all hinges on us and Him. Because as we move with Him, He has things in mind, great things in mind for us. Now think of Peter and John. They're going up at prayer. Prayer was three times a day. It was 9 in the morning, 12 noon, 3 in the afternoon. And so maybe they wanted to sleep in, I don't know. But they go up at 3. And they probably missed the first part of seeing this man being carried into the... He didn't come into the sanctuary. And the reason he wasn't allowed in the sanctuary was he was impaired. They couldn't go in. If they were blind, whatever it was, they could not go into the presence of God or into where they would worship. So he was kind of stuck out there. And as Peter and John came, he cried out to them, alms for the poor. But the translation says that he asked them for money. He needed something. That was the only way he could make a living. And I told them this morning that I was stationed in France and I got to go to Paris a couple times. And I remember these old soldiers that from the knee down they were already cut off. So there they are on the Champs, and you know that's going from the Eiffel Tower to the Arc of Triumph. You know, 6 lanes. So it's the main thoroughfare. And walking down that, there they were, asking for money. And what were people giving them? You know, the French have a centime, which is a half cent. And that's what they were throwing. How many of those would it take to get a meal? And you kind of felt sorry. So thankful for being an American. What a privilege that God has given us, and the opportunity. So as they missed this, here's the man sitting there asking for alms. Led by the Spirit, Peter said, "Silver and gold we don't have any, but such as we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached down his hand. Now, I don't know, you know, what was going on in Peter's thinking. It just happened so quickly. But as he did that, he brought the man up, and his ankles became strong. He was now able to stand. And then he began to walk. And then he began to leap. And then he began to praise God. You know, folks, I don't know if you remember the day that you were saved, but I remember that. I was 15 it was my great uncle that was the pastor of the church we were attending. It was like 45 minutes from where we lived. And I had already made up my mind as a teenager, whether he gave an altar call or not, I was going to go to the altar. And I went, and I'll tell you what, I've never been angry or anything because of what he had done for me. This life has been different because of what Jesus Christ has done. And as they watched this young man, he was in his 40s according to the Bible, but it's according to what commentary you go to. Some said he was 38. Others said he was past 40. It doesn't matter. But that day for that man, his life was totally changed. He was made different because of what Jesus had done for him. Then we go down into the 12th verse. And Peter says, "Why are you staring at us? As though we had done this." See, miracles are a God thing. God works those miracles. If you can look at a miracle and dissect it and explain it, it's not a miracle. When God does something, you can't explain why it is he done the way he did it. Why was that man the one that was so touched that he got up off those legs, strengthened down at the ankles, and he got up? And he began praising God and leaping. I understand why he was running through the church. I would have been too. Think of that for 40 years. That somebody had the patience to take him to church or up to the temple. Now that's another little thing I wanted to mention to you. Do you know why God, every time you go to Jerusalem, you go up? There's a little thing about that. Because God wants you to look up, not to look down. We go down to the other parts of Judah, but we go up to Jerusalem. And when he brings the new heaven and the new earth down, we're going to go up even further. And you think about that God wants us to look up to him. He's our Father. He's the one that cares about us. And farmers and country folk know that better than anybody else. You know the secret of life. You know that you have to depend upon God. The rain has to come at the right time. Things happen as they do because God's hand is there. I want you to listen to this. It says that the lame man asked for what he wanted. He asked for money. And he received what he needed, something more. And isn't that what this article said? I'm your Father. I want to give you more. I want to bless you. I care about you. Well, Tony Evans shares this. He says, don't settle for what you want from God. That he may not give you what you ask for, but what he provides will always be greater than what you wanted. Now, I'll let that sink in. Because he is our Heavenly Father, that he will always give us something more than what we wanted. He wants to bless us. He wants us to be that blessing. I was sharing with Gordon as we came over, and he said that as I was preaching, he was thinking about this. But are you aware that Jesus passed that man? He walked right by him. He didn't reach down and say, sir, be healed in the name of Jesus. He left him there. But you see, there's a beautiful verse in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that some verses you just fall in love with. And in this verse, it says, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Now, when you're going through things, and things are very tough, think of this, that in God's timing, it's going to be made right, and it's going to be made good. In verse 12, Peter looks at the crowd because, hey, they're standing there amazed, astonished. What is this? This guy is walking. We know him. And he's leaping and jumping and doing all kind of kid things. See, when you get my age, you don't do it as well. Trying to get up out of the easy chair. My wife and I race. Fortunately, I'm able to beat her. But you know, I am amazed as I've gotten older. I was not prepared for being in the 80s. And we have to laugh at each other. Because, it's like what you said about crossing over. I don't walk as fancy as I used to or as quick as I used to. So anyway, Peter looked at them and this is what he said. He says, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Would it surprise you? Would it surprise you if you came to church and here was somebody that you didn't know, but somebody from the area? They were dressed rather sloppy. They may even have a little body smell. How would you treat them? What if somebody came in and you felt led of the Lord to pray over them? Would you have enough faith to believe that God is able to use you and that person is able to get up and to walk out of that church? Folks, it's ours. It's our privilege. Dare to believe him because he does the work of the impossible. Things that are impossible for us, for him, they're nothing. You think about that when you come to church. What great thing is God going to do? You never know. Well, that didn't get the other church excited, didn't get you all excited. So I'll have to work on it. I'm not doing too well. Well, I haven't gotten them up running. And I was thinking about that. You know who would be at the tail's end? That would be me. Okay, so we're going now into chapter 4. And in chapter 4, they are now called into the Sanhedrin, which was the law body of the church. And they're asking them, why did you do this? In whose name did you do this? I didn't read this morning, but the ladies read it. But there's something that they told them. They said, don't you speak in that name. Folks, we live in a time when we are not to speak in that name. And have you ever thought, they never go after the Muslims, they never go after the Buddhists, they never go after any of the other groups. It's always the Christian. And you know why that is? Because our enemy out of hell doesn't like to look at you. I think you're great looking, but he realizes that you represent Jesus, and that's what he sees, and that's what bothers him. Don't you think that they had a party whenever Jesus was on the cross? Now, this is my speculation, but when Jesus, and I don't have my bunch of keys, but can you imagine in hell, here they are, they're partying, the demons, Satan, having a great time. And then in the jovialness of all that, they hear the keys. And he looks around, and who does he see? He sees Jesus. Because he thought, we've done it. We've got the victory. It's kind of like with Trump. No matter what they do, he always seems to come out of it. We used to say that about Hillary too, that nothing stuck to her. And that's what happened with this. There he was. We thought we'd left you on the cross, but no, he's risen. And folks, that should give us every reason that when we leave the church, that our heads are up high, and no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard or how difficult, we might even have tears as we leave the service, and it may not be because of the preacher, but because of what you're going through. But remember that he's with us, and he cares about us. Okay, now I want to get going on the government for a minute. Okay, 2020, we get COVID. And now the government begins to think, how are we going to take care of those Christians? Did you ever think that you could go to the bar, sit side by side, and those little critters, that COVID, couldn't go from one to the other? Maybe it was the drinks that they were serving that killed it. But brother and sister, think, if you came to church, sir, you and your wife need to move 6 feet apart. Don't sit together. You know, and I've often wondered, how is it that these little critters can jump from me and jump to Gordon, but he misses it because he's a little more than 6 feet away from me. But you see, the government did this. It was their advantage to control us. They wanted to see if they could control people. And it worked. Did you all have church during COVID? Did you all meet together? Or did you just stay home? Yeah, no, most of us, even as a pastor, yeah. But as a pastor, you know, we just closed the church. And I feel guilty because I did that. But that's what the government did. Now, what's the other thing that they're crying about is climate. Who controls the climate but God? Do you wake up in the morning and worry? You shouldn't. It's going to be there. The sun's going to come up. And if it doesn't, it's because of the clouds. It's not because God took the sun out of the way. But yet, what is it? And people like Al Gore and that are making millions off of this idea. But folks, God's got it. And they're not going to get away with it. And you and I are going to praise God for what God's going to do. Because in Genesis, we open up with the garden. And in that garden, it was paradise lost. In the book of Revelation, there's a garden, paradise gained. But also in Genesis, there's a man and family called Noah. And during the time that they were here, the 120 years, it was ugly. So that in Matthew 24, Jesus said, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end time. What were they doing? They were eating, drinking, doing what people do. But then the flood came. And what he's telling us is that even as dark as it gets, where do we look? But we look up. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one that we look to. He's the one that we gain our strength from. Now, I think there was another one, and I'll see if there's another one that I had there. Okay, we won't worry about it. So before we would close, and what time do you close? Oh, I'm doing better here than I did at St. Elmo. Wow. But in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul told Timothy to fan the fire. Think of a campfire. The embers are getting cold. You know, you can tell I'm not a real camper. I would, but my wife doesn't like bugs. So we didn't go out and sleep in a tent and all that. I wanted to be a missionary, and she says, well, I'm sorry. I can't be a missionary, all because of those bugs. So I settled for just being a pastor. I said, okay. So the Lord led me that way. But when I think of her and I think of those bugs, she was in the bathroom one night and I heard this scream. And she's going through a lot of physical things. So I thought, what happened? And I go in, there was a cricket down by her foot. I thought, a cricket? Okay, I'm sorry, sis. Didn't mean to get that going there. But anyway, you think about that we have to keep this fire going in our hearts. That even if they close the church, would you spend time in God's Word? Would you spend time in prayer? Because folks, that with this group that's in Washington, that could very easily happen. And there again, the Muslims will go to their mosque. Everybody else will do their thing, but you and I have to rest upon the Lord. Well, there's another verse that Paul, and it immediately follows. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. Remember, 2 Timothy was the last book he wrote? But God did not give us a spirit of timidity. We shouldn't be fearful. And I know that in ourselves, we feel that, and Paul knew it. God knows it. God knows that we're just flesh, but he loves us. He's going to change all that. You're going to have a glorified body someday, folks. No pain, no misery. Going to look the best you ever looked in your life. Boy, I didn't get anything out of that either. The last one I wanted to share with you was Proverbs 28:1, and I like this. The wicked flees, though no person or no one pursues them. Now think of that. Do you ever look around and think someone's following you, and you get all unnervy and all this? But now look what the Proverbs says about the Christian. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Do you know how far that lion can holler? 5 miles. So you know it would terrify you in the jungle, and you hear him roar, you're thinking he's right next door. But he could be 5 miles away. And even on TV when he does that, it kind of reminds you that what the jungle must be like. But think of this, and what an awesome God we have. Now, let's go right into the closing. Father, again, I am thankful that I could come. It reminded me of that little church that I grew up in. And I'm thankful for this place. Thankful for the people. That, Lord, that they love you enough that they come to meet with you. Sure, they hear the preacher, might hear Gordon, but Father, that's not why they came. They really came to be together and to worship you and to praise you, and so we thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.